Well, the word's good. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Galatians 5. I didn't expect this to be a two-parter last week when we talked about love, but it's really pressed upon my heart. Actually, I've shared the same message in both churches, which lately it's been a little bit more doing that, but in the beginning we had a message for each place. But there's some things that everybody needs to hear, praise God, and this is one of them. That's why it's just key to be led by the Holy Ghost. Just be led by the Holy Ghost. Galatians chapter 5. Praise God. Verse 6. And let's pray before we get into the Word. Make sure what He wants said gets said. Father, we're honored to be here this morning. I mean that, Lord. Your Word is life. Your Word is the lamp to our feet, a light to our path, Father. You said if we would know the truth of what? The truth of Your Word. If we'd know it, that we'd be set free. Lord, You don't want us in bondage. You don't want us in depression and fear and anxiety and physical sickness and in poverty, Father God. You don't want us in fear and worry and anxiety. Father, You want us walking in the abundant life. And the Word will make that possible. And so, Father, we thank You for the Word. Lord, speak through me. May my words be the words of the Holy Ghost, the oracles of God, Father, spoken straight from the throne room. Father, if You want me to go a different direction, if You want illustrations, examples, Lord, I'm open to whatever You want. I know that You know what everybody needs specifically. So, Father, I thank You that what I say this morning will help people, not because I'm saying it, but because You're saying it through me. So, Father, we'll give You the praise. But, Lord, we have a part to play. In Mark 6, God was ready to bless. Jesus was ready to bless. But, Lord, we see the people weren't ready to receive it. So right now, Father, we just say we're getting something from this message today. Father, by faith, we all just in our hearts right now just turn our expectors on, and we say we're expecting to be spoken to by God Almighty. Father, we thank You that it'll happen. We'll go to a different level of glory. We're not here to play church this morning. We're here to be helped, to be changed, and to have a better life. Glory to God. So we can have a better life, so we can bring a better life to others. Hallelujah. So we love You, Lord. We bless You in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, I'm going to dive right in here. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but it says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision." But He's trying to get a point across to you what's important now. It's not by works. He says, what matters now is faith. And we know that in this church, don't we? I mean, we've been taught that. And, you know, Brother Hagin, someone that I followed close by, I mean, he's my spiritual grandpa. He's my main feeder besides my pastor, Pastor Michael. And Lord told him, go teach my people faith. And faith is not a minor thing. And we know that. You overcome by it. You receive by it. You're saved by it. You please God by it. You live by it. All sorts of things. And faith is how the natural changes, right? I mean, aren't you glad we're not stuck with the natural? I'm so thankful I'm not stuck with what the natural and what the devil tries to bring me in this natural realm. But my faith can change those things. My faith can take a mountain and remove it. My faith can cast a mountain that's there into the sea. My faith can create things out of nothing. Praise God. When it looks like nothing, my faith can create something. Praise God. And that's what faith can do. And we're excited about faith. But you can't be excited about faith if you're not excited about the love walk.
That's right.
And I don't mean maybe naturally excited about the love walk. The love walk message isn't one of those rah-rah, hoorah services that we would have when we talk about getting to the other side or shouting the walls down. But it ought to be rah-rah in your spirit, because your faith won't work without the love walk. And the Bible says your faith works, or the Amplified says it's activated and energized by your love. It's like the key in the ignition, right? You know, my truck, I love the truck. It's a blessing to me. But it doesn't get me anywhere. It doesn't do any of those wonderful things without the key. And so your faith, man, you might believe God. I know God's a healer. I know He wants to heal me. I know He can heal me. I know God wants me blessed. I know He can make it happen. I know God can send money my way. I know God wants my children thriving and walking in His statutes and His ways. I know God wants my business flourishing, wants me prosper, wants my family prospering. You can know that, and you can know that He's able, and you can know that He's willing, and you can be full of faith. You can know mountains can be moved. But if you have a stinky love walk, don't matter. And we're not going to turn there. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. He said, though I speak of tongues of men and angels, but if I don't have love, he says, I'll become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, right? He said, though I give my body to be burned, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, yet I have not love, I'm nothing. He said, though I have all faith, though I understand all mysteries, though I understand all knowledge, he said, though I have all faith that I could remove mountains, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Why? He knew That if he didn't have the love walk, he wrote this verse, so he knew. God gave him the revelation of this. Paul didn't think this up. God gave him the revelation that, listen, faith's a good thing, and you need to teach people faith, but they need to know there's a key. There's an ignition. There's a generator for faith, and that generator and that key is love. And so love is so vital. Love is so important. We saw in 1 John 4:16 that the Bible says he who dwells or he who lives or he who plants himself, he who establishes himself in love, establishes himself or lives or dwells in God. And that's important because Psalms 91, I've always wondered this, and the Holy Ghost showed me. He said, Psalm 91 and verse 1, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Under the shadow of the Almighty is where the blessing is. It's where the peace is. It's where the provision is. It's where the health is. It's where the protection is. It's where the wisdom is. It's where the answers are. But he says you have to dwell there. You have to live there. You know, I live at my house. I have an address in Lakewood, New York. But I have to actually physically put myself there to enjoy the benefits of living in that home. Right. He who dwells there. It's up to me to find my way home tonight. Isn't it? It's up to me to find my address. I can't just go and knock on somebody else's door and expect to live there. If I want to live in my home where it's safe, where I'm comfortable, we have everything laid out for us, I need to dwell there. I need to go there. Well, same with dwelling in God. It's something that you have to put yourself there. It doesn't happen automatically. In fact, the world will try to pull you out of there. Your flesh will try to pull you out of there. Your mind will try to pull you out. That's why when you're born again, the Bible says to do your spirit's renewed, but your mind, the Bible says to renew your mind, and the flesh, it says to put it under, to present it holy to God. Why? Your flesh and your mind want to go opposite directions. So we renew our mind and we put our flesh under. Our spirit wants to go the ways of God, but you've got to put yourself in God. Well, I always wonder, how do I dwell in God? Well, the Bible tells me, the New Testament sheds light on the Old Testament. The Old Testament was an imperfect revelation. The New Testament, everything's been busted wide open. Things in the New Testament shed light on some of the types and shadows of the Old Testament. Well, it says to dwell in God. Well, what does that mean? Well, to dwell in love. You dwell in love, you're dwelling in the Father. And then it goes on in verses 2 through 16 to tell you all the wonderful blessings of the person who dwells in God. So again, all those blessings are conditional. Boy, that just kind of just wipes out that whole idea that whatever will be, will be. If God wants it to happen for me, it will. It'll just fall on my head like a ripe cherry off a cherry tree. No! You have to dwell there. You have to be faithful. You have to speak. It's up. You have a part to play in this. It's up to you where you live. You can live in carnality. You can live in anger. You can live in bitterness. You can live in hate. You can live in all these things. Or you can choose to live in love. Glory to God. He who dwells in love dwells in God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then you get all those blessings, so it's important. Let's go to 1 John 4 and verse 8. Jeff, I don't know if Michelle misunderstood me. She don't have to watch Caleb the whole service. Just if this number came up, I was hoping she could take him to the bathroom or something. So, yeah, he's probably got her all with his little cute words, trying to keep her back there with him playing. So, praise God. 1 John 4 and verse 8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Well, remember that word love that Jesus said in John 13:34 that you are commanded to live by. That love that gets your faith working. That love that says if you don't have that love, you're nothing. That is that Greek word what? Agape. Which means the God kind of love. The Bible has a few different Greek words for the word love. And the agape love is a lot different than the other kind of love. The other kind of loves are conditional. They're based on feelings. They're based on you do good for me, I'll do good for you. The agape God kind of love is the love that for God so agape'd the world that he gave his only son. He sacrificed. It's an unconditional. God didn't give us Jesus to die for you and me because we were wonderful. We were a horrible position. We had the sin nature in us. And, babies and stuff are innocent. I'm not trying to, don't take it the wrong way and say, you know, if babies pass away, listen, they're going to heaven. They're not accountable. But when I say that sin nature is running through us, that eventually we get to an age and we mess up and we miss it. We falter and we fail. But God loved us anyways. Even when we went against everything that he said about us, everything that he told us to do, We went against him, and we've all faltered. We've all went against God. We've all disobeyed him, yet he still loves you, not because you do everything right, but because Jesus did everything right. Aren't you glad Jesus did everything right? I'm glad Jesus did everything right, because I'll tell you what, I have a laundry list of things, you know, that I didn't do right, and praise God, they're washed under the blood, but I'm so thankful for him, so thankful for his mercy. But the Bible says that's agape love. That he that agape not knoweth not God, for God is agape. That's that same word. So not only are we called to walk by this love, but our Heavenly Father is this kind of love. So we could say this too, that our Heavenly Father, he is agape. He's the God kind of love. It's the only thing he can pour out of himself is unconditional love. That unconditional love that says, I'm going to love you no matter what. That unconditional love in Matthew 5:44 that tells you to love your enemies. That tells you to bless those that do wrong to you. That pray for those that persecute you, people that use you. Do good unto those. Bring blessings to the unblessable, to the unlovable, to the unkind, to the ones that hurt us, that mistreat us. And the Bible says if you don't do that, your faith will not work. So you might as well get off your prideful attitude, the prideful horse you ride, and say, they wronged me and they don't do this. You better get off that, or your faith will be hindered. Your faith will be hindered. I'm talking to everybody, myself included. I know our natural feeling is to get back, to be spiteful. You did that to me, I'm going to do that to you. You better thank your lucky stars. Jesus didn't do that to you. He loved you just because. And I'll tell you, you treat people that way and you go on living your life like that. Again, nobody's not saying you've never been wronged or anything's been wrong to you. But you live like that, you're going to suffer. Your faith will stop. It won't work. I've had people, I've gone to pray for them before, and the Lord said, do not pray for their healing. They won't get it. They have unforgiveness in their heart. They have bitterness in their heart. They treat people wrong. They talk terribly to people. You can't get what you need if your love walk's not good, because your faith's not working. And if you don't have faith, it's not working. Praise God. He that loveth not knoweth not, for God is love. So other reason it's so beneficial and so important is because when you take on that love nature, when you choose to walk in this unconditional, which by the way, you can, Romans 5:5 says the love of God, the agape of God, has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's a choice. You choose how you treat people. You choose how you walk in love. You choose the words. You choose the thoughts that you allow to stay there. Now, you can't sometimes choose the thoughts that shoot into your head, but you can choose the thoughts that you sit there and, like Brother Hagin would say, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop a bird from building a nest in your hair. You can't stop some of the thoughts that come in, but you can stop from sitting there saying, oh yeah, you know, they did do that. Ooh, boy, I'd like to do this. Oh, it'd be fun to see this happen to them. You can stop that kind of stuff. And you better stop that kind of stuff. He knows your thoughts. You say, well, if I just don't say it and I just think about them falling into a hole and never getting out, it'd be okay, right? I'm just, some of the thoughts that go through my head at times, you know, I'd like to see them in a hole and watch them try to get out. That'd be funny, right? This is me, you know, just trying to let you into my weird world. Praise God. Can't think like that, Pastor Mike. Got to get those out of there. Glory to God. And so pride will tell you, I've had people tell me after love messages, don't matter to me. They wronged me. Okay, what do you want me to say to you? We'll have fun not having it work for you. Have fun. It's to get off the pride horse. Pride's what got the devil's rear kicked out of heaven. Stop. Get off your pride horse, because it's, eventually you're going to get bucked off anyways into poverty, into sickness, into disease, into worry, into fear. You can't afford to not have a good love walk. Let me just put it that way. You can't afford it. You can't afford it. We need it. It's too important, glory to God. So we take on his nature. When we act like in love, when we act like the agape kind of love, we're acting like our Father, which is so key, because the more we're like him, the less we're like the devil, the less we're like the Word, and the more blessings. See, if we could get everyone to look like this, then this would come to pass in their life. The more you're like God, the more blessings you'll have. It's just true. The more powerful you'll be. You know, a lot of people don't see miracles in their life. They don't see signs and wonders because they're not holy. God can't trust, like when people minister to other people, he can't trust you with that kind of stuff. You're an unholy vessel. No, the more we're like him, the more we become dominant, a dominant force on this earth. We take on his nature. His nature, the very being of God, is love. So we want to be like him, right? Praise God. We want to be like him as much as we can. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. And we'll kind of get to the heart of where we're going today. You know, I thought that, like I said last week, that would be a one-week message on love, just kind of a reminder. every once in a while bring these things up, but there's something that we need to hit on. And it'll not only be a blessing to you towards other people in your own life, but you'll walk out of here being at peace with this today. Praise God. The Word brings peace.
Yes. Amen.
The Word brings peace. Glory to God. I had somebody that was texting me this week, not in any of the churches, and they were talking about things that they've done. And I said, you need to listen to my righteousness message that we preached a couple weeks ago, because you need to stop thinking your thoughts about yourself. Start thinking God's thoughts, because God's thoughts will bring you peace. And I got a text back. I'm just in tears right now. I listened to the righteousness man. I said, yeah, well, nothing special I did. I tell people I have the easiest job in the world. I'm just a professional. I get paid to plagiarize. I just plagiarize the words of Paul. I plagiarize the words of Jesus, the words of David. It's not a hard thing to do. I just stand up here and tell you what the Bible says. So don't ever give me the praise. And I was telling her, listen, that's God's word. And I told her, I said, she going through some things, I said, I could line up for you. I said, this is going to sound arrogant, but listen to the whole statement. I said, I could line up to you, dating back to when I was the associate pastor of the Jamestown Church, a line of people that will say, Pastor Mike helped me restore my marriage. Pastor Mike helped me get out of financial problems. Pastor Mike helped my business. And I would, and I'd say, I could line up all those people and say, Pastor Mike helped me. And I'd tell you this, I told them all the same thing, just the word of God. No special wisdom for me. No wonderful thinking something great up. I just told them the Bible. They did the Bible and it worked. Yeah. And so God's word will bring you peace and God's word will bring you help. Hallelujah. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 13 in verse 4. Now in the King James, it says the word charity. I talked about this last week. If you look that up in the Greek, it's that same word agape. I don't know why the translators put it in. If you look at some of the newer translations, they actually put it in as love. For some reason, the King James translators, no idea why, but thank God we can go back and look at the original on that computer sometimes. So you can see it. But I'm going to read verse 5 in the Amplified and tell you where we're going today. That was just the intro. Praise God. You're worried now. Don't be worried. We'll get you out of here in time. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 in the Amplified says, love is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, does not act unbecomingly. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way. Man, we are a country and a people that like it our way, don't we? Yeah. And it's not self-seeking. Now, this is a good one. We're not even going there today, but this is a good one. It's not self-seeking, touchy, fretful, or resentful. As a pastor, I can't tell you how touchy people can be. And I'll tell you this. Pastor Michael told me, he said, Pastor, if you're going to pastor, you better get some thick skin. Because I'm someone that every little thing that somebody would say, every little look somebody would give me, every single thing that somebody would say to me after service, if it was in the wrong tone, if it was not in something faith and encouraging, man, I took that to heart. Either would get upset, get down on myself, and it would just mess me up. And he told me, he said, you better get some thick skin. And I'll tell you what, as a pastor, that is so true. You give your life for people, and you'll just go to lengths for people. And at times, it's people that don't even acknowledge that they even give a rip. Well, before that bothered me, I don't care. My hope is in him. I love you, but my hope's not in you. I hope you love me, but I hope your hope's not in me, right? And so he said, you better not be touchy, but I'll tell you what, I can't tell you how many people are touchy and fretful. One little thing, it's like, it ought to be water off a duck's back, praise God. And I'll tell you, every time you let that happen to you, it'll take you out of your love walk. Take you out of your love walk. It says it takes no account. Everybody say no account. No account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It's like it didn't even happen. That means when you see that person, you don't treat them according to how they treated you. When you think of that person, you don't think of them according to how you ought to treat them in your mind, the way they treat you. Why? They didn't wrong you. It doesn't mean you trust people. It doesn't mean you have to be a doormat. It doesn't mean you have to be an idiot. You know, and get put people in positions that could, you know, you can't trust them, they wronged you, but it means you think a certain way, you treat them a certain way. Yeah, you treat them with love. But anyways, this is where we're going today. It says it pays no attention to a suffered wrong. No attention to a suffered wrong. Go to Galatians 6 and verse 1. Oh, this will help you. You know why it's going to help you? Because you are all, every single one of you, this isn't even prophecy. But this is a 100% factual prediction of your future. You will all need mercy someday. You might need it right now from a person, from a bill collector, from a job, from a boss, from a spouse, from a relative. But at some point, you are all going to be standing in a place where you are going to need mercy in your lives. So that's why you're going to be thankful for this message. Brethren, talking to Christians, if a man be overtaken in a fault, or you could say it this way, if a person is screwing up, missing it, constantly doing it wrong, over and over and over again, that's what it's talking about, overtaken in a fault. Somebody that just does not get it right. Somebody that's always messing up. Somebody that's always doing wrong. Rather than if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, kick him while he's down. Beat him while he's down. Point the finger of condemnation while he's down. Talk bad about him behind his back to his family, to his friends, to other people. Can you believe what so-and-so did? I can't believe it. I'll tell you what, we got a lot of busybodies in the body of Christ who just run their yaps and run their yaps. I'll tell you what, it'd do you good to shut your yap sometimes. Stop talking, in the new age, all the kids are saying, stop talking junk about people, right? So many people are talking all sorts of bad things, just running their mouth about, did you see what they did? Did you see? I can't believe what she wore. You be overtaken of fault. You which are spiritual. Now that's the goal, isn't it? To become spiritual. Not to become carnal. Carnal and spiritual are two opposite things. Spirituality is the opposite of carnality. Carnality is the flesh. Actions of the flesh. The devil's territory. Where the devil's blessings come on you. Stealing, killing, and destroying. But spiritual, God is the most spiritual being there is. The more spiritual we are, the more we're like God. The more we're like God, the more blessed we are. It's very, very simple. But he says, you which are spiritual. So now it's going to tell you what spiritual people that are God-like, what they actually look like. You which are spiritual, to a person that's overtaken in a fault, to the screw-up, to the mess-up, to the person that never does it right, restore. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Not, come on, let's go and get back going. No, meekness. It's going to be okay. They're quivering because, you know, it's like the dog that's been kicked over and over again, and you come near it, and that dog just, no, I just want to pet you. Yeah. I just want to love. I just want to pick you up and bring you close and help you. I don't want to beat you up. I want to get you back on your feet. Listen, there's a better tomorrow for you. Yeah. There's more ahead for you than there is behind you. In the spirit of meekness, hallelujah. Now, this came in my heart this morning when I was meditating on this message. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. People say all the time, I can't believe they did that. You better consider yourself. I've seen it with my own eyes. People come and say that. I can't believe what so-and-so did, and they fall into the exact same thing. Why? They didn't consider themselves. And the devil came along with the same thing and snared them with the same exact thing that weeks, months, years before they were saying, I can't believe they did that. They've been in church their whole life. Don't they know better? Yeah. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. You never say to somebody, or never even have the thought, I can't believe. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what people are facing. You don't know the assault that the devil has put on their life to cause them to act a certain way. You don't know. You don't know the situation financially, the pressure they're getting from home. You have no idea. Your job is not to know, and your job is not to judge. Your job is to love. Your job is to restore and to pray and to help them. Praise God. It's unfortunate. So many times people will say that about people, and people are just going through absolute hell on earth, and they're just waiting for somebody. You know, a lot of times people will be in wrong and overtaken in a fault, and I've had this mentality. I don't know if you ever have. And it's like you're spinning your wheels and you're making a rut, and you're getting deeper and deeper into that rut. And you're so deep, you don't even know how to get out. And so you just continue the life. You just continue going because nobody's there to pull you out. You know, like we get stuck and we just keep stepping on the gas. Yeah. That's not helping. You're just getting deeper and deeper. You need someone to come and hook up to you and pull you up out of that thing, right? Yeah. But we just sit there and we keep doing the same thing because we don't know how. We're under attack and we've done so many things wrong, and people don't expect anything good out of us. So we just keep spinning the wheels. We need someone to come latch on, pull us up out of that thing. Praise God. Yeah. You don't know what people have gone through. Be the one person that comes by and says, "I want to help. I want to be a blessing. I want to be spiritual. You know, the Bible says to restore them." I don't know much about cars and things like that, but I do know this, that when you restore a vehicle, you know, you think about some of the 1950s vehicles that people in these car shows, they restore them and they drive them down the road. They took something that was a piece of junk. At one time, it was really good.
Yeah.
At one time, it was wonderful, and it had its heyday, right? It had its opportunity, right? It had its chance at being a good car.
Yeah.
It had its opportunity, but now it's old. The times have passed. It's hit a lot of bumps along the way. It's broke down. It's done a few things wrong that you had to go get it fixed, and now it's just sitting over in the junk pile. But somebody has an eye for that vehicle. It says, I see something better in that pile of metal. I see something in that thing that has an opportunity to not be just like it was before, to be better than it ever was when it came off the assembly line with newer parts in the 2000s, right? I would hope with the technology, I know sometimes the way they did things in the old days was a lot more reliable, but the technology that they have now, the new kind of paint, the different kind of parts that they can put on, they take that piece of junk that had its chance. It already had its chance. Why should that car get another chance? Why is that person getting another chance? They've had so many chances. So have you. And they take that car and they restore it. And that car looks shinier. The chrome is popping on that thing. I mean, it's just the seats they put in, and they restore that thing to a better place, not just get it back. God doesn't want you just to put someone back or to even put yourself back. He wants you better than you ever were before. And he wants you to take somebody and say, listen, you can be better than you ever were before. But I had my chance. I don't care. I'm here to restore you. I'm here to help you. If a man be overtaken of fault, you which are spiritual, restore. Don't kick them when they're down. Help them. Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Think about the prodigal son, right? If you don't know the story of the prodigal son, basically, the son gave his dad gave the inheritance to one of the sons, and he went out and spent it all on riotous living, didn't he? Luke 9 and verse 51. He went out and spent it all, didn't he? Spent his father's inheritance on wasteful things. So much to the point that he got so broke, got in such a bad place, that he said, man, if I could just go back and eat like the hogs do on my father's property, it'd be good. I can just go back and slop what the pigs get to slop. I can just go back and be a servant on my dad's property. I'd be happy. Well, the Bible says that parable of the sower is giving us a picture of who our Heavenly Father is. The picture of who your Heavenly Father is, you are to be an imitator of God, Ephesians 5 and verse 1 says. You are to be like God. Well, we see it. The dad was on the steps, right? And the son, head, you know, tail between his legs, head down, coming back home. Messed up, you know, feeling shameful. I spent all my dad gave to me. I wasted it. Wrong living. Now I'm coming back. I'm just hoping he just even lets me back to even be a servant, just to eat what the pigs are eating. I'd be happy. And daddy on the porch sees his boy coming from a long ways away, doesn't he? And he doesn't sit there and say, here comes your idiot brother. Then turn to his wife and say, that idiot son of ours is on his way back. Wonder what his stupid excuses are going to be. Daddy runs to the son that messed it up, that spent it all, that ruined it, ran to him, arms open, and loved him, and restored him and said, son, you're back. You're home. We're gonna kill the best calf we have. We're going to make the best meal. We're going to have the best party ever. That's what God says. God, the kid's like, I just want to be a servant. Just let me eat with the pigs. No, you're my son. You're my child. You're going to come. You're going to eat the best. You're going to come and have the absolute best that you can have. And the other brother got mad, didn't he?
Sure.
Which is what we can do a lot of times. I hope they get theirs. I hope they have to pay for what they're going through. Why? I don't want that to be for me. I want him to pay. Why does my brother... And he says, you never did this for me, Dad. And Dad said, listen, the whole time you were here, you had access to all of this.
Right.
It was always yours. Your brother's home. You ought to be rejoicing. He's back. He's fixed. It's okay now.
Right.
And that's the picture of your Heavenly Father.
Praise God.
Luke 9 and verse 51. Powerful stuff, huh?
Amen.
And it came to pass, Luke 9, 51, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Talking about Jesus. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And the Samaritans didn't receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Now his disciples, James and John saw this. They weren't happy. Two of the closest disciples that Jesus had said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elias did? See, listen, Lord, they're not receiving you, and you're Jesus.
Yeah.
Lord, this makes us mad. Do you want us to get them? That spirit of, well, I want to get them. I hope they get theirs, and let's make sure they pay for this, right? And what did Jesus say in the next verse? He said, you don't even know what spirit you're of. He's basically saying, boys, you need to wake up. You ain't operating under the spirit of God right now. There's one of two spirits on the earth, either the spirit of God or the spirit of the devil. They weren't acting under the spirit of God. They were acting exactly the way the devil would. Make them pay. Get them for what they did wrong. He said, you don't know what spirit you are. What that spirit of this. The finger pointing. The spirit of you're going to get it. You're going to pay. Nope. Praise God. He said in verse 56, the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to the village. Hallelujah. Go with me to James chapter 2 and verse 12. And we're going around the bend of the end here. Praise God. James 2, verse 12. Praise God. James 2 and verse 12. This is instruction from James. I love what Dr. Dufresne used to say. He said, you ought to get acquainted with Brother James. And what he meant by Brother James is the writings of James. The book of James is awesome. It talks about what to do during trials. It talks about how your tongue. It talks about things like we're going to read now. I mean, it's just marvelous, marvelous book that you can learn so much from. But in James 2 and verse 12, he's given instruction. He says, so speak ye, or speak you. He's saying, speak this way, and do so as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty, the law of freedom, not the law of condemnation, not the law of judgment. He's saying, speak and act as somebody who wants to be judged by the law of liberty, not the law of black and white, you messed up, you deserve to pay. Verse 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Now, that might be a little blind to us in the King James. Let me read it into you in the Amplified and the NIV. It'll help you. For to him that has shown no mercy, or hasn't been merciful, listen to this, the judgment will be merciless. But, thank God for the but. But mercy, full of glad confidence, exalts victoriously over judgment. And I'm going to explain what that means in a second. The NIV, listen to what it says. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. But, you put a but in there, mercy triumphs over judgment. Now, you say, what is it talking about, judgment? Well, there's a couple kinds of judgment. Number one, we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if you're born again, this is not to get into heaven or to escape hell. This, we're born again children, we're going to heaven. It's to be judged for things done in the body. What do we do with God, with what God gave us? I don't know if you know this or not. Maybe we should teach it sometime. This is the training ground for what you're going to do up there for eternity. We are going to be in charge of things and put over things in heaven. This is where you make it count. People are trying to get everything they can. The whole idea of a bucket list is so, if you've taken that up, I'm not saying you're wrong, but the idea of it, of I've got to get everything I can in before this life's over because this life's everything and I just got to make sure I make it count here. No, 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 no. This is the playground. That's the show. That's the real show. This is practice down here. This is where we get together and go over the show. Up there is when it really happens. Praise God. And so there's judgment there, but there's also judgment. You have the rest of your life to live. And the Bible talks about sowing and reaping, doesn't it? In Galatians, it says, whatever a man sows, he'll reap. In Luke 6, it says, give and it'll be given back to you. You sow mercy, you'll reap mercy. You sow judgment, you'll reap judgment. You sow condemnation, you'll reap condemnation. You sow anger, you'll reap anger. I have to say this. I said it last. I had somebody. They're not here. They don't go to this church. I always like to point that out so everybody's not thinking. I wonder if it's him. complain to me about. about how people are to them and this, you know, not kind to them. And he would complain and complain and how they're not kind and they don't love them and they don't do this and they don't do that. And I said to him, I said, what about the hundreds of text messages I've sent you, encouraging you, telling you how it's going to be okay and helping you and building you up? And I never get a response saying thank you. I never get you to even acknowledge I even sent them. And I'm thinking, were people not raised right? Because don't you, when someone does something nice for you, you say thank you? That's the way I was brought up. It's awkward. If you give somebody a gift and they take it and walk away, that's awkward. Don't be awkward. But the point was, I'm saying, it doesn't surprise me that you're struggling with not having friends. And you're complaining about all these people because you don't show yourself friendly to that. You sow something, you're going to reap something. Yeah, it's the truth. It's the truth. And so when it comes to mercy, if you want to sow guilt and condemnation and pointing the finger, you are going to be standing in the place of needing mercy someday. And how many of you know there are times that in the court of law of life and standing before Jesus, that he has every right and life has every right to throw the book at us. We are guilty. We falter in our marriage. We falter in our with our children. We falter with friends. We falter in our jobs. We falter with our money. We falter in our love walk. And the book has every right to be thrown against you. But the Bible says that mercy rejoiced him, spit at him, cursed at him. And he said, Father, forgive him. It has nothing to do with a feeling or how good they are to you. And we know we're to be this way towards other people. But how many of you know, I said this last night, some of you ought to give yourselves a break. Some of you ought to give your own selves a break and let your own selves off the hook. And start showing a little mercy and compassion towards your own self. Condemnation is an area in my life that I have, I'm saying in the past, struggled. I'm not saying that about my life anymore. I'm saying I'm victorious over those things. Why? I'll have what I say. I used to always say I struggle with it. Well, why did I always struggle with it? Because I always said it. That's the reality I lived. Well, now I say I'm victorious over condemnation. But in the past, I struggled with it. And I'll tell you one little thing. I will beat myself silly over the head. And there was something I did a few years ago. I don't even know. I think I might have told this story. Something I did. I can't remember now. But I was in my tree stand. And, man, God speaks to me in that tree stand and when I'm walking my dog. And because there's just a lot of time to be quiet. And there's not all the stuff going on. And my spirit's sensitive to him. And I was in my tree stand. And I'm calling myself an idiot. I was, how could you? You've been in the Word for how many years? You are so dumb. You deserve this and that. And the Holy Ghost spoke up in the authoritative voice in my spirit. And I have it written down somewhere, so I'm going to probably not say it word for word. But he said to me, how do you counsel people? Out of the blue, how do you counsel people? And I responded, not out loud, but I just kind of responded, you know, in my thoughts with God and that coming to my spirit, like, what do you mean? What do you say to people that sit across from you that have screwed up and have messed up? And the light bulb started to come on. And I started to go through what I do. I said, man, I tell them what the Word is. I don't blow smoke at them and, you know, to try to make them just feel better. I tell them the Word makes them feel better. I tell them, listen, just repent and go on. I tell them, pick yourself up. Press on. The Bible says forget those things which are behind. That it's okay. That God's merciful. He's good. And thank God for Jesus. Not that we sin on purpose, but when we do, thank God for Jesus. And I said, that's how I counsel people. And he said, why don't you counsel yourself like you counsel someone else?
Oh, that's good.
And then I proceeded to get a little bit loony in my tree stand. I literally had a conversation with myself. If someone else would have seen, they would have admitted me right off. Right. Thank God there's no cameras in the woods or someone spying on me. They would say, Pastor, we got to take you away. Because I literally said, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to counsel myself. And I said to myself, I said, Mike, why are you here today? I had this conversation out loud. Probably no wonder I didn't see any deer. But listen, I want to be fixed. I don't care what people think about me. I want to get past things that are hindering my life. I said, Mike, so why are you here today? He said, well, Pastor, I know this is crazy. I said, well, Pastor, I did this such and such and such. And, man, I've just messed up so much. It cost me financially. Well, you know God's good, right? Yeah, I know. He wants a better life for you, and you can just forgive, be forgiven, and he's not going to hold. He wants you to live the rest of your life as if you've never made a mistake ever, that this never even happened, and God loves you so much, Mike, and he's got such a great plan for you, and the rest of your life cannot be hindered by what you did now. And I counsel myself, and that whole condemnation thing busted right off me. And yes, we need to treat other people like that, but you need to give yourselves a break. Forgive yourselves. Be merciful towards yourselves. The Bible says in Mark 11, 23 and 24 that you'll have what you say, you'll have what you pray. But then in verse 25 it says, and when you stand praying or when you stand saying, forgive. If you have aught or if you have anything against anyone, the Bible says you are to forgive them. Are you an anyone? Are you an anyone? Forgive if you have anything against anyone. We need to forgive ourselves. Let ourselves off the hook. Be merciful towards ourselves. Be loving towards ourselves and kind and compassionate. And God authorizes you to live that way. Again, this is not a get out of jail free to sin card and this is your free ticket to sin. No, but when we make a mistake, thank God for the blood and thank God for mercy. And we need to show ourselves mercy. Amen?
Amen.
Be more like God. Be more loving. Check up on yourself how you're treating people. Let's be lovers of people. Let's be the ones that pick them up. Let's be the helpers. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We're just grateful for the Word. The Word brings life. The Word brings help. The Word brings peace. We're so thankful for it. Father, forgive us for people that we just hold under the microscope and just hold them to the things they've done wrong. And just, Father, maybe we can look at our life and say, maybe that's why it's not worked out so well for me, because I just haven't been so loving. And Father, we want to be better in these areas. Help us to be better in these areas. Open our eyes, Father. Help us to be more loving. People, Father, sometimes get in such a rut that they just feel like, especially Christians, because truthfully, Christians ought to know better because we have the Holy Ghost, but when the Christian makes a mistake, we just pile on ourselves, and the devil piles on us because he takes advantage of the fact that we should know better and that we have the Word and that we're in good churches and that we have the Holy Ghost. And those people get in such a rut sometimes. Lord, help us to be the ones that say, listen, God loves you. He wants this gone in your life. Just help us in this area, Father. And help us to forgive ourselves and let ourselves off the hook. We need to be doers of the Word, not only with other people, but doers of the Word with ourselves. We count in this. Father, we love you today. We're just so thankful for your mercy and for your goodness. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to us. Lord, I pretty much think I know everybody's condition spiritually here in this room, but I'm not 100% sure. And also, I don't know who's listening by live stream. And so, if you're listening by live stream, if you're in this room, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? And if you answer that yes, answer yourself, why do I know that? And if the answer is, well, I'm a good person, that's the wrong answer. Well, I've gone to church. That's the wrong answer. Well, you know, I my good works outweigh my bad works. That's the wrong answer. The answer ought to be because I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I believe he died on the cross, and I believe he rose again. That's the answer that the Bible says that you qualify for heaven. If you believe Jesus was, and you believe he died and rose again, you want to accept him, you're a candidate and qualified for salvation. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around, please. If you can say, you know what, I don't know for sure that I would go to heaven. I think I would, but I don't know for sure. Would you just lift your hand if you want to receive him here today? There's no one's trying to embarrass you. I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise God. I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise God. You know, a lot of times people think, oh, I was a good person. I went to church. No, it's those things are great, but it's about what we did with Jesus. See, this is why I would go ahead and do this, because you just never know, and we just want people. You want to be, keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. I gave the salvation call at the Jamestown Church, and someone came up to me after and said, Pastor, for 2 years I've been coming to this church. For my whole life I thought I was saved, but when you made the statement, get off the fence of eternity. See, so many people, you don't have to wonder if you're going to heaven. You can know that you're going to heaven. So there were two hands. Is there any other hands in this building today that you want to know for sure? Now, don't get into fear and think, well, man, if you believe in Jesus and you've confessed him and accepted him, you're saved. But if you're saying to yourself, you know what? I don't know if I've really made a commitment for him. Anybody else that want to receive Jesus that hasn't raised their hand? Father, thank you for the two hands that we had, and who knows who's listening now by live stream or who will listen to the archives in the future that will receive Jesus. But if you raised your hand, there's only one thing left for you to do, and the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so we're all going to pray a prayer with you. And if you raised your hand, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Don't just say it with idle words, but say it and mean it with all your heart. You're not going to be the only one saying it. We're going to say it as a church. If you need to make this decision by live stream, pray this with us. But if you raised your hand, and with everybody else in this church, if you go ahead and say this after me, say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here. You know, the Bible says when one person gives his heart to the Lord, the angels rejoice and have a party. I don't know what happens when two. When two people do it, who knows what's going on up there? I know it's good, though, but praise God. Of course, the next step for people that raised your hand and for all of us is to get in a Bible teaching church, plant yourself there. It doesn't have to be this one. Wherever God's telling you to go, wherever your home is, wherever you're getting fed the word, it's got to be a Bible teaching church that'll preach the word. Get in that church, stay faithful, and be a doer and get all that God has for you. Amen? Well, you all are awesome. Again, happy Father's Day. Make sure you get a gift card from Jeff out there for Tim Hortons. We love you. Be blessed, and we'll see you all next Sunday. You're dismissed.